Thank you.
And good evening. Thank you very much. As I think if you can lower the echo, it would be easier to understand my tone. I speak in an unknown tone. It's called American English. And you can open, please, into the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. I've been preaching through the book of 2 Corinthians. And I'm very happy to see each and every one of you here this evening. And may the Lord bless you and speak unto your hearts by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And I will actually open us in prayer, and then we'll have our message. Our Father, as we are gathered here to hear your word, to hear the gospel of your grace, we pray that you might speak unto us in the Holy Spirit's power, that you control my spirit, and that you give a hearing ear unto the people, that we may be reconciled unto you and may be one in Christ. Give the blessing for his name's sake. Amen. And so from, if you could lower that echo, please. As I want to take us unto the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And I want unto work from verse number 14 through verse number 17 this evening. And the title of the message is, I Will Not Be Burdensome Unto You. As Paul says here in verse number 14, now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. And what he's saying here is that his ministry is, it's a ministry of helping others. It's a ministry of giving. It's a ministry of reconciliation between God, the Father, and the people that he has chosen and that he has given unto his Son. And he says, for I do not seek yours. I don't seek after what you have. I'm not pursuing after your money or your praise. But you, I want what is best for you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Here is the first principle of God's grace that I want to bring this evening, is that pastors, like preachers, are like parents. A pastor is like a parent in the sense that he gives unto his children. He's not trying to take from his children. He's not going to sell his children into slavery in order to reap the benefits. He recognizes it's his responsibility, her responsibility, to provide for them. That is what a true pastor is. And I won't have you turn to a lot of scripture, but take a listen unto this in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, and is everyone able to understand me? I would really love if the echo... Sir, is it possible to turn the echo off? Off. And what's he saying? Did you able to understand me clearly? Okay. I don't like to preach and have to, and then I hear myself twice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. For our exhortation, it did not come from error. It was not a false gospel. Or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. It didn't have a deceitful motive. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, this gift of God's grace, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which tests our heart. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that his ministry, sir, it was not a design around bringing people unto himself. It was not a design around making money off of the people. He sought as a parent to store up for the children. And he manifested this sincerity, this pure motive at the church at Corinth. He labored for them free of charge. He served them even while he had a job as he was working in the field making tents. He labored over them just as a parent would, very selflessly. Now I know in Nigeria and in the USA, a parent can get glory out of her children and be very self-motivated in all that they do, that they feed, house, clothe, and educate that child all for himself. I know that is a reality of sinful man. I know that a man has to be born again and a woman to truly love God. For we are very selfish and even our best motives are just filthy rags. But what Paul is saying by illustration is that the preacher is not here to be served. The preacher is here to serve you. He is your servant. He's to wash your feet. I kiss old man's feet, but I will get down and humble myself by the Spirit of Christ and wash feet in the gospel. I was in Lagos, and some people were coming unto the faith of Christ, and the pastor actually returned, exceedingly faithful now, and very, very zealous. But I think as kind of a remnant of the flesh, is they had an old-fashioned foot washing service. I will never do that again. I do not like touching a man's feet at all. But spiritually speaking, I want to wash your feet and serve you in the gospel. You don't exist for me, I exist. That is the mind and the heart of the faithful pastor who's been loved by God. The scripture says that freely you have received, also freely give. And we're to be loving, and we're to be generous, and we're to be gracious hearted, because we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. I will give my all unto you, though the more abundantly I love you, it's the less I'm loved." As you see, Paul was motivated by the grace of Christ. Now, while he was rich, he became infinitely poor for our sakes. As he endured the wrath of God as upon the cross of Calvary. He suffered and bled and died in order to give us eternal life. And in essence, he gave up everything in order to give us everything. And so Paul, being motivated by the grace of Christ, he had a greater commandment than the law. Actually, love me, I must enter into the depth of eternity. I must think back when God was deciding who would be saved. And he put me and you in Christ Jesus. Now, with God, he never decides anything. He's always known all of his ways. He's always loved us in Christ forever he had been. He's always had this plan A of the gospel. But in this plan, he had both Judas and Peter, both Jacob and Esau, both Moses and Pharaoh, both the fallen angels, just like Satan, and the angels he would preserve from falling away in rebellion against him in utter futility. And back when God decided who would be saved, he put me and you in the book of life. And if he had left us out, so we probably would have forever. The decision was made by God. Nobody else was on the throne, or even asking a permission, but to give an opinion with God. He decided that Adam would fall into transgression, known unto God all of his ways from the beginning. And he made man upright, but he watched him fall for a purpose that was greater than the damnation of the hypocrites, which is the salvation of his people. And then he shed his precious blood on the cross. And the infiniteness of the wrath of God. It would take his everlasting soul just to pay for one sin. One thought of foolishness, it would omit that Jesus Christ had to die. God had to die for one sin. If anybody is going to be saved from one sin, it takes the dead blood of Almighty God. But the untold, innumerable, countless sins of us is every thought of foolishness is sin. Every lust in the heart of corruption is worthy of eternal damnation. And he suffered the wrath of God. And being the infinite and the almighty God and a man in the same person, he was able to bear away our transgressions by the infiniteness of his person, and he was able to die as man. And then he revealed himself unto us by the Holy Spirit, that you can see God in His glory, in the gospel, in the pages of Scripture, that you can understand your Bible for yourself and see Christ Jesus. That's the miracle. That's the glory that God revealed unto you by the Holy Spirit. It was through electing love, through blood redemption, the devil has acted according unto his will. And it was up to God to grant us repentance. So when I look at how God in Christ has loved me, the debt I owe you is unfathomable. It gets bigger and bigger.
Let me repeat verse number 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent. I'm not going to stop. Not for your souls. He's not after pride. He's not after his own vain ambition. He's not trying to build an empire. He's building the kingdom of Christ. He is actually, he's loving and he's serving other people as the Lord Jesus Christ hath served him. He's free from the bondage of sin. He's liberated. Love is flowing in his heart by the Holy Ghost. He loves people, not just doctrine, not just Bible reading, not just knowledge, but human beings. He loves them with his soul. He expends himself. And even though of the more abundantly I love you, Paul says, I'm not going to stop, even though it means it is the less I am loved. He's saying this, my sister, that other people in their hatred towards me means nothing on this mission. I'm not going to love them because I'm going to love them because he loved me. And I love them because he said so. And he's been liberated from the bondage. Dost thou know he forgives his sins? He loved me. Feed my sheep. Translate that love towards God, that freedom, that emotion of joy, jubilation towards God. Look up into heaven through the word of God until your heart is filled with passion and compassion.
compassion and love people even when they hate you. Even when the church is against you. Even when the people are so immature that they actually cannot value your ministry. Even when people try minutes only, and to make themselves look big shot. This man was actually speaking in Hausa, but every few words are in English, and I understood exactly as to what he said. He said this: if you really serve God like me, people will come all the way from the United States. That's church house. My anger went from, I was already out of touch. After 2 straight hours of passing the awful plate around and around, I said, Pastor, I was almost busy to watch the awful plate just get passed around so many times. I went up to my brother. But all I was saying is, I love you. Even when you hurt my feelings, even when you broke my heart. This is the prayer of Apostle Paul and Church Corporate there, the Washington is innocent. He cursed Christ, his virtue was a man. But he had for his law and that's it. And imagine what happens unto the men. The wolves are in their midst. That's why they're hating them. The wolves. This morning, at around, it was just before 6 a.m., I was up by 5, and I got a call from my friend in the Washington State. It's on the west coast of the U.S. And he had kind of booked an appointment with me to talk. On Monday, but it's now Wednesday, sorry. And he had told me already, I thought, I don't feel the presence of God. So I'm expecting that he's in fornication. And my heart is going to break under the scare. If you've gone that far into degradation. But thank you. Diet, we hope so, but
die. It may be cancer.
And the Almighty God uses that as a way to come up. And if it's cancer, it's cancer. As long as he's got God and he's ready to die. But we got to talking about how the blood of Christ. And I've been there. I told him, brother, don't you remember he found me in the sewer? He had moved up from Washington with his wife into California just to be under my ministry right before I quit preaching. To never preach again in my life. And then God called me back. He put his arm in the toilet. And he reached way in there. And God met him. And so I tell him as to what I know, brother, of the blood, it will prevail. As good as I've done, he's raised him from the dead. The power of the Holy Ghost will give you an obedient life. And you cannot come unto God just after we prayed of the one sin of pornography. You've got to give your whole unto his glory. That's the reason he gives us the Holy Spirit. But being from the gutter, they were preaching to him. And by the time that we prayed, he was no longer trusting in his feelings. He was trusting in God. He was trusting the promises of the covenant. From Jeremiah chapter number 33, that the eternal God would have to stop hiding his sun and his moon would have to fall out of the sky if he ever broke his promise. It would not, it cannot happen. The Almighty God is faithful unto his people. Even when we turn our back on the ground, when we walk away. That's why Paul said, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to love one more. I'm going to figure out a way to try to reach him. Look what he said to them.
This great apostle, this man, this human being. I can look at Christ and say, that's impossible. But this was a man like me. This was a sinner. And look what God did with him. I want to be like Paul. How about you? How about you? I want to be like him. I have no choice. That's what the Word of God says. And I can't preach it if I don't actually have it in my heart. But look at verse number 16. It says, but be it as it may, I did not burden you. I did not take your money. I did not want your offering. I didn't want your tithe. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. He snuck up on them. How? He took no money and came in the church house and preached anyway on the side up until he got in the pulpit. He lived it, even if he wasn't preaching. He was whispering the gospel to somebody else until finally an opportunity came and he could preach Christ. I snuck up on you. I used God. I tricked you. He thought I was nobody. And I'm the apostle.
God. And here he is, humbling himself at Corinth with the sight of God. If he had asked for one God, everyone, as the people would say, like, all you have to learn. And the false apostles would use them against him, but taking no salary.
Is he ended up in the pulpit? I don't get paid as I travel. If the people give, it's fine.
It's the pastor who ought to be supported if he's preaching faithfully, right? That's a scripture. But the pastor doesn't care if he's got God in his heart and burn. Not in the gospel. He's in the gospel.
And we have got them to be like this. Lord God, purge my heart. Change my heart. That's our prayer. Change me, cleanse me, make me clean on the inside. Make my motives pure. Make me love these people like Paul did. He'll give it. Then you look at verse numbers 17, 18, and I'll be done. It's the apostle said, now, did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent? He's saying that that would be clever. That would be sneaky.
That's the spirit of Gehazi. You remember him? What did he do? He ran up behind.
In verse number 18, I urged Titus and sent our brother, that's probably Timothy, but he is so well known for his faithfulness, he's just called our brother. He humbled himself and said, our brother. He loved him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Is Matthew not of the same character as me?
Because if he's not, then the fault is mine. If this sister here has unholy character, I know she's still growing in grace as a young child of God, new to the faith of Christ. But if she has unholy character, and it's the will of the Lord. Whatever you say is okay. I'm not the recognized as a big fat man. He fell fat. And falling back on his own fat. And him being fat, he was slothful in the ministry. He was lazy. He did not approve in the gate.
And so what Paul is saying is, look at this. Did not we walk in the same spirit? Did not we walk in the same steps? Paul is saying, if I let Matthew be unfaithful, it means I have faith.
But he picked people who were faithful to the gospel message because he meant it. And so on our way here, we have it was a young man. Every day, every hour, keep me by the Spirit. wander away into sin, thought, word, and deed. We live out imperfections. He chases us down and calls us back into his path. Every glimpse of Christ is a sacrifice. Every time we see him, it's a blessing. Every time we change, every time is repentance, it's him for us. So Paul said, I'm not going to be burdened. I'm going to love these people. And he gives us an example to follow in how many of you are to treat other people. And our expectations towards everybody that we want. If something happens to me and I'm gone, look for a faith.
Amen.
Last time,
to help us to do it. But it is a time to help. God has blessed us. And God has blessed us. Do that to pray for this church, for the pastors. God has blessed us. For our children. The grace of God. That's why we are here. God has blessed us. Have blessed us. Thank you, our Father. We are grateful. Lord, we are sorry to confess that your grace, we have treated it carelessly. From the same grace that led Paul on the way to destruction and transformed him to become a new of the church. And it's the same grace that is fully available to all. Oh, Father, we come today. Give us this grace. Change our life. Change our hearts. Revive us. We don't want to be and we are coming to make you Christ Jesus. For his name's sake, we feel us our Father. So forever we will be grateful to you. Amen. Thank you, our Father. May your name be praised in this moment of revival and call to repentance. By putting yourself in front, but I will trust you that you will not cast us away. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.